You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter.
Good morning and welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. It is Friday morning and we're back here with the big show on WBDG and want to wish everyone a very good morning. We were here late last night with the Area 31 Career Center open house, had us here until late. They also had a Pathways night here last night for the freshmen. And sophomores. And then they also had a middle school basketball game here last night with Chapel Hill taking on Lyndhurst. Don't know who won the game, but wow, there was a lot going on here at Ben Davis High School last night. So it was a busy hopping place. Parking lots were full. Always good to see that. So bringing in our producer here this morning, Miles Sprong. How are you, Miles?
I am doing wonderfully.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Kieran Sandulo had a bit of a family emergency this morning, so he's on his way still. So appreciate you filling in.
Oh, yeah. He's gonna,
as always.
He's going to tag in and then, or as soon as he gets here, and then my duties will be filled.
Yes, your duties as the, I don't want to say backup producer, because
no,
that makes
I'm
it
the
sound
backup.
Like, is that fair?
Yeah, I'm the backup.
Say? Okay, well.
No, when Kieran's not here, I'm do it, or I do it. When Kieran's here, he does it. Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yep. So thank you for filling in, and we're waiting for our guest also to call. So this could be a very interesting show if our producer isn't here, and we also don't have a guest. So who knows what Miles and I will come up with this morning. But our producer will be... hopefully our guest will be there. That may be our guest calling in. Why don't I'll do the big board while you talk to our guest. Hit the big board there. The big board. And on the big board this morning, we have Ben Davis at Indy Met, Indy Met at Ben Davis, Tuesday at 7:30. And that game is coming up here at Ben Davis High School. That's a boys basketball game. 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. Tomorrow, Ben Davis traveling to Lawrence North in girls basketball. 7:30 p.m. will be the start time on that tomorrow from Lawrence North High School. We have College Goal Sunday coming up February 23rd at 2 p.m. We'll have a guest. Bill Wozniak will be joining us here in a couple weeks to talk about that from InvestEd. Of course, President's Day coming your way. On February the 17th, there will be no school that day. Other stuff up there. Miles, you're excited about that. Other stuff coming up. Of course, you could listen to the show again 2 p.m. on Sunday. And also, you can catch the podcast anytime on Audio Boom or any of the other places you find our podcasts and our socials at WBDG Indy, of course, except for TikTok, where we're at Giant 90.9. TikTok is back. I think that is new news from last week. And one more thing before we get to our guest. We got news, I think it was shortly before the show last week that, it was at the start of this week that one of our guests from a couple weeks ago, Renee Pack, the state representative, she lost her husband, Sean Pack. And we just want to say, Renee, we're thinking about you. I personally knew Sean, as well as am good friends with Renee Pack. So, sending thoughts, and prayers out to her family, because, it's just terrible to lose, a spouse and, a father with her children. It's hard. So, thinking about Renee and, want to wish, the family the best as they deal with this, sudden loss of Renee's husband and the father of the family, Sean Pack. So thinking about you, Renee, and we're sending our thoughts out to you. And man, it's just hard. So, with that, I don't know how you shift gears out of that, but we will. Joining us here, I believe on the phone, is Kyle Nedenrip from the Indianapolis Star, high school sports reporter. Kyle, how are you this morning?
Doing well, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on. Certainly, I see you a lot at basketball games and football games and other sporting events. So you've been doing this now a while here in Indianapolis, but what is your background? How did you get into this profession?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how sometimes I got into this profession, but I was thinking the other day, though, this is actually the week I started in my first newspaper job was the week of the Rams-Bucks NFC Championship game, in which is this past week, 25 years ago. So it's been 25 years now since I first started, but at my college paper, I went to Missouri State University, and I went to the newspaper staff there and asked if they needed help, and I had some classes. I was in communications at the time and didn't know for sure what I wanted to do, but my college started offering a journalism program my junior year, so I had experience on the newspaper staff. I covered the women's basketball program there. Was my first beat, which was awesome because Jackie Stiles, who ended up being the all-time leading scorer in women's basketball history, and her record's since been surpassed, but she was phenomenal. They were top five in the country in attendance, in the late 90s and early 90s too. They made the Final Four in 92 and then made it again in 2001. I was off the out of college by that point, but it was great. I mean, there was a lot of interest in it. The program was a lot of fun to cover at that time, and I just kind of got my foot in the door that way. And then I got on the daily newspaper in Springfield when I was in college. They needed people basically taking phone calls. You're taking phone calls of high school box scores and putting together like the Agate page, which is the scoreboard page. So doing that sort of thing, just kind of typing bowling scores, glamorous stuff like that. So I did that for my last year and a half of college. That was a better, better probably experience than anything you could really do. It was a hands-on experience. And then eventually I started getting some opportunities to copy edit. And I ended up putting out the Monday sports section. I think I was still in college at the time, but I was working Sunday nights, and I would do the Monday section, basically in charge of it, which was a great experience. So all of that kind of leading to, at some point we wanted to get to a bigger city. My wife is from St. Louis, so Indianapolis is not too far away. They had an opening here, and I got the job. I was very fortunate. I mean, I never take for granted, the job that they gave me, and that's been, I guess, probably 17 years now. Wow. So I've been here 17 years. So yeah, it goes fast. It doesn't seem like it's been that long to me, but yeah. So most of my career, I've been here. Most 17 of those 25 years, I've worked here at the Indy Star. So and mostly covering high school, as you know, but also get a chance to do some other stuff, which I really enjoy, like helping cover the Pacers when they make the playoffs. It's probably my favorite thing to do outside of my own beat. So I was able to do that last year. I covered them all the way through the Eastern Finals, and I'm hopeful that we'll have that opportunity again this year. I'll obviously help out other stuff too. I've helped with Colts playoff games and regular season games, and Indy 500. At times here and there, miscellaneous other, obviously college sometimes melds into my beat. I was able to do the Final Four for Purdue last year, out in Arizona, which was a great experience. So yeah, you get, even though you're doing high schools, I mean, there are opportunities to do other things as well, but as you know, the high school beat can keep you busy. There's literally things you could do 24 hours, 7 days a week on this beat. So it keeps you busy for sure.
Yeah, I know. I've sent you story ideas before. I'll say, hey, might want to look at this. So I'm sure you get that from people all over the state. You know, they know you're the high school writer, so people send you this stuff.
Which is great. I mean, and I think the longer you do it, the more you probably get. You just know people more, or you know, maybe people will know who you are in more cases. So, you know, and I went to Bloomfield on Wednesday to, you know, see a game, Clay City and Bloomfield, and you know, I'm still surprised. Like, you know, some of the people there knew it. It's like, oh yeah, I read you, you know, or I follow you on Twitter or whatever. And I'm like, but really? Why? You know, because I don't, you know, obviously I don't cover Bloomfield very. You know, I've been there before, but don't cover them obviously that often. So that always kind of makes you feel good, or at least, you know, people know who you are. Even if they don't maybe like everything you write. I mean, at least they you know, have read you, or you know, whatever the case may be. It is funny though, because I used to hear all the things like, you know, I read your stuff is what you used to hear more, and now it's like, oh, I follow you on Twitter or whatever. Yeah. it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know if it's good. It's probably not a good thing, really, but it's, I guess it's another way to kind of get your stories out and information out that way too.
Kyle Nedrip joining us here this morning from the Indianapolis Star. He covers high school sports and many other things, as you heard there as well, for the Star. And you bring up kind of a good point. And I had this question. I have it written down. I'll show it to Miles so, you know, he can confirm that I did write this. But you led right into it. So you've been doing this a while. I've been doing this a while. I can tell you how much radio has changed since I've been in the industry. But how much has print journalism changed since you started in the 90s?
A lot, I would say. I mean, well, to the extent of you know, the way the business has obviously suffered as far as, you know, layoffs and things like that. I mean, even, you know, I use this example again, but you know, covering the Bloomfield game the other night, and you know, I was talking to their principal there about, you know, who covers them, and they really don't have, I mean, which is kind of sad. I mean, it's kind of speaks to the nature of, you know, the way the industry's changed is they don't have anybody covering them regularly. And I'm like, man, that's such a great program, even though it's a smaller school, but it has a lot of interest, and it just kind of falls through the cracks a little bit of, you know, it's between Bloomington and Terre Haute, and sometimes they get the TV stations down there, but not all the time. And you know, it's that to make that example, it's just there's less of us out there covering, you know, especially high school sports. You know, but I do think also, I think, you know, the metrics show, and we've added people on our staff here because the metrics show like, oh, people do care about high school sports, but yeah, the nature of, you know, speaking specifically to your question, it's you know, when I first started, obviously, you know, it was 2000, you know, basically 99, 2000, the right around New Year's there. And you know, speaking to that, we had one computer in our office, and it quickly changed, but we had one computer in our office that had internet access. So,
wow.
You know, that's the funny, you know, it's just like, and, you know, that quickly changed, obviously, in the next year or so, but yeah, so, I mean, we're much more mobile now. I mean, you know, you don't have to be, and I go in the office probably once a week or twice a week at the most, you know, definitely once a week. But yeah, it's, you don't need to be, you know, face-to-face. It does help to, you know, in my opinion, it does help. It creates story ideas if you're in the office and, you know, at least talking to your editor over the phone or whatever, just to kind of keep things fresh. But you know, from a standpoint of being more mobile, that's a good thing. I mean, we file stories, you know, from not in the office ever anymore. So that's a good thing. The social media aspect has definitely changed a lot, and that's been in the last, you know, what, probably, I don't know how long Twitter goes back, maybe 12, 13 years or something like that. But, you know, keeping up with stuff, you know, in the moment, you know, and there's other, you know, there's become other ways to do that as well. I know there's obviously some problems with Twitter, you know, that have cropped up in recent years, but it still is a good, there's not a better platform that I've found yet for, you know, covering stuff in the moment, at least. So, And maybe that'll change and you have to adjust to that. But, you know, I would say that's the biggest deal. Doing video during games, you know, I used to cover games, just, you know, you'd be writing, and I still write stuff down, or I write stats down, and I kind of go the old school way, and I have a notebook and everything that works for me, you know, that I can kind of assess things quickly after the game, and I can go back and look at, okay, Mark Zachary scored at 2:30 left, and I've got that written down or whatever. So I just do it that way, and so that hasn't changed for me. But the fact that you kind of keep up with things, if you're covering an event, it's more interactive in the moment than ever. So, and that includes videos and all that stuff. So I try to most of the time do post game videos and things like that too. So that's always a, you know, and that it's always a hard thing to keep up like that. But yeah, that's probably the biggest thing. And then obviously just the overall business and, you know, the way things have kind of gone down for, you know, like you said, not only newspapers, but, you know, TV stations have had layoffs. You know, there's a lot of media that is just different than it was back, you know, 25 years ago. So, but yeah, I mean, it's like anything, you know, you have to be willing to adjust. And I always try to be, you never want to be the old guy saying, well, it was better back in our day. You know, I don't want to be like that, because there are really good younger people in our business. I try to learn from them. You know, I try to, as much as I can to you know, watch what they do and, you know, and maybe help them, but also like, oh, well, that's something better I can do too. You don't have to be, just because you're older doesn't mean you're better than anybody. So, I've found that out, just from, you know, watching and learning. And I think that always helps to learn from younger people too.
Kyle Nendrup, once again, joining us here on Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. So, you've won awards for this. I believe you're the Indiana Sports Writer of the Year in the past, and you've done all these great things in your career. And I really enjoy your feature writing. I think you're an excellent feature writer, one of the best that the Star has. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I say it when I talk to people and see people. I think you do a tremendous job. And, you know, one of the stories that I look back to is the story you did on the Lawrence Central sectional from a couple of years ago with the COVID situation and the number of people that were there that ended up passing away the early days of COVID and becoming sick from that. And, you know, I had friends there, Paul Logan, who's somebody I wouldn't call him a close friend, but somebody that I dealt with on a regular basis up at North Central, and then people from Warren Central and Lawrence Central and just all of the schools. That had to have been, I can only imagine, a very difficult story to really dig into, but the work you did on that story was frankly some of the best journalism that I can see, that I have seen. So when you look at a story like that, when you approach a story that is as wide-reaching and as emotional as that story was, how do you begin something like that?
Well, yeah, I appreciate you saying all that too. That story started, you know, basically because of Paul Logan originally, because I was, and there were some other people that week. I started finding out, you know, people were starting to get sick, and honestly, it became kind of a personal story for me because I got sick, and I went to the doctor. It would have been the next week. I just was feeling terrible and ended up, you know, at that time, obviously they weren't testing, but I went and got a blood test, you know, a couple months later when you could do that. And I tested positive. So I did find out I had it too. And the symptoms I had were, you know, leading me to believe I did, but I, you know, was at that time was so worried, you know, you didn't know mm-hmm. if you're going to survive it, you know, and a lot of people didn't, obviously. So it kind of became a little bit personal for me. And then you started finding out, you know, there was some Lawrence Central fans there. Larry Rush was one of Charles Johnson, who was a Warren Central fan. Jim DeSalle, who was on the Lawrence North staff for a long time, and he passed away You know, there was a man named Roscoe Taylor, who was a Warren Central fan as well. So there's a lot of people where it was just like, man, what, you know, there something was in the gym. It had to be, you know, because all these people passed away who were there that week. And it was, and also too, John, it was such a great event that week. I mean, it was just such a phenomenal crowd every night. All the games were unbelievable. So it was very memorable anyway. It was just a great, great sectional. That sectional was always so good, that sectional 10, and that year it just kind of lived up to it. So it was just this, it was this dichotomy of, like, Indiana high school basketball at its very best, and then, like, the tragedy of these people passing away. And there were more, there were a lot of people who were there who I ended up finding out had gotten sick or, you know, had had symptoms and things like that. So I just kind of started from a standpoint of writing. I was writing these stories of people who were there and just kind of started talking to people also who had been there and gotten ill. And so I had a little bit of time. You know, that was when, you know, everything kind of shut down. So the next few weeks, I think the story ended up running April, like maybe April, somewhere April 20th or something like that. So it was what, about 6 weeks probably after the sectional. So I had a little time to work on it and start talking to people and start adding things up. And it just, you know, I talked to people also who survived, like Jim Stanbro, who another Lawrence North assistant at the time, who's now the Cecina head coach. He had a terrible experience. He was in the hospital and talked to those, you know, people who survived it and some of the families of people who didn't. And, you know, so it just, yeah, it ended up being a, you know, story that I thought would resonate with people. It took off to an extent I didn't even know, you know, it really went crazy as far as people picking it up and running it and different outlets all over the country taking it. But, yeah, probably one of the more I guess proud of stories, if you can be. It was such a, and I knew a lot of those people too, you know, so it was personal to me too. I knew Paul Logan really well, knew his family really well, you know, and also Jim DeSalle, you know, knew him over the years really well. So it kind of became a thing where it's, you know, high school sports can be pretty personal that way. And that was sort of the experience there. But I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to tie that in because we were obviously all going through it at the time, and it was kind of before it became really political too, kind of right before it did. Yeah. And I think maybe, you know, so I was luckily able to avoid that the reaction from all that, but yeah, it was one of the more, maybe the most you know, proud of story as far as reporting goes that I've done in my career. So yeah, I appreciate you saying that, but it was a sad story, but also I think one that maybe could be helpful or needed to be told.
Kyle Nedrip joining us here this morning on Voices of the West Side. We've got about 6 minutes left with you here, Kyle. So when you approach a story like that, and I know that, you know, you just wrote one about the Waldron manager who passed away. When you approach a story like that, how do you not get emotionally tied up in it, I guess? Because, I mean, I would assume that you do, but when you write the story, you do it with compassion and certainly that comes through the writing. But when you get into a tough story, I guess, how do you avoid kind of getting emotionally involved so much that you can't really do the story?
I'm probably, you know, it is, you know, that's a good question. Sometimes you do. I mean, mm-hmm. I think in that case, the COVID story definitely was personal to me. I did feel emotional about a lot of that story. It was right. Just, so I don't know if you can avoid it sometimes. You know, and I think being empathetic with people. I can't tell you how many times I've been on the phone with somebody. Even the Ralph Lux story you just mentioned, the mm-hmm. Waldron manager. I was talking to his nephew JD, who's all time, you know, leading scorer in Waldron history. He's on the staff there now. And you know, was obviously really close to Ralph. He's family to him, but you know, he was driving when I was talking to him, and I was just asking him questions, and all, you know, and I could hear him, you know, he was crying on the other end of the phone. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been in that position, and it's you just try to, you know, let them talk. And most of the time, you know, that when people like JD, they do get emotional, or you're talking to somebody who's getting emotional, that's not a bad thing. You know, that's, if you're a young writer, I think you want to, you know, just kind of be quiet and let them, you know, because I think most of the time when I've talked to people who've been emotional that way, they appreciate just being able to talk about whatever they're talking about, you know, and that emotion's not a bad thing. It's kind of a release, I think, for them. You know, so a lot of times they'll apologize about being emotional. I'm just like, it's nothing. If this helps you, you know, talk about this person, then I think this is a good thing, you know. And that's all I'm trying to do is, you know, in Ralph's case, give him some, you know, shine a light on him, you know, let other people know about him. And I can do that through what you're telling me, you know, because I obviously don't know him like JD does in that case. So, but yeah, I mean, it is. I've done stories where I've been crying, you know, when mm-hmm. I've been writing it. Doesn't happen that often, but there have been times where I've definitely felt that. And I think you don't want to get so emotional you can't function, and I've never been in that position, but it's not a bad thing to feel what they're feeling. And I think it helps you as a writer to maybe have those emotions sometimes. And, you know, I think it can be helpful. And those conversations, I think, to have with people can be, you know, maybe help them go through some healing too.
Kyle Nenrip joining us here from the Indianapolis Star on Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. And, you don't, I mean, I've talked about a couple of the sad stories that you've written, but you've written a book about Indiana gymnasiums, which is kind of a cool thing that you got a chance to get out and see some of the Indiana basketball cathedrals that are out there. What was that experience like putting that together?
Well, I wanted to do a story about, and this actually started with the story with the Indy Star, about old gyms that were still there, but they're kind of in the darkness a little bit because they're not used as high school gyms anymore. So I ended up doing a project for the Star, and we ended up doing an interactive map where you could scroll over. Of course, you know, we change our system so often that doesn't even exist anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know, so that was sort of, you know, that, and that tipped me off. I got so many emails and reaction from people, and it was crazy. And turned out one of those people was from Sullivan, and he was the one of the publishers for the company I ended up writing the book for. And he pitched that idea, and they got the old Sullivan gym for a cover shot. I did not shoot that cover shot. They found someone to do that, and it was great photo for the cover. But I ended up doing all the other gyms, kind of point and shoot camera, and I would take the photo, and then I wrote little stories on each one. I did 100 of them around the state. I actually had more than that, but we narrowed it down to 100 and just wrote little stories on each one, like a page worth. And yeah, I mean, that was probably 14, 15 years ago, and I still hear from people talking about that. And that's what I wanted to get those gyms down to history, and because I knew in coming years those gyms could be gone. And sure enough, you know, some of them are gone already, unfortunately, which, you know, is very sad. But that experience was great because at the time I was still sort of new to Indiana, and driving around the state doing all that really helped so much. Helped me know where these places are, helped me meet people. You know, a lot of the people I quoted in the book have now passed away too. They were older who knew the gyms well. But it was a great experience. I could not have, you know, there's things about the book I wish I would have done differently. I'd never done one, and honestly, I haven't done one since. But there are things that I would have done differently, but I'm so glad I did it. I think it was sort of a passion that I had that I'm just glad that I was able to do it. And the response to it was really good, too. It was definitely a worthwhile, if not financially, certainly not financially, but it was definitely worthwhile from a standpoint of just doing a book and learning what that process is like. And I'm proud of that book, even though like I said, there's some things I do differently, but I'm glad I did it.
Kyle Lindrup joining us and has been joining us here on Voices of the West Side this morning. Any last thoughts or anything you want to share with us here today on the show, Kyle?
No, I appreciate your friendship, John, over the years, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of people that have helped me. You know, it's not all what you do or what I do. It's a lot of times learning from people and being put in positions aren't obviously sometimes what, it's not all about what you've done. So, you know, hopefully, that's something that I can help pass down or help younger writers too. But yeah, it's been a great job to have, and hopefully you always want to kind of do it the right way and don't always do, you know, you make mistakes and obviously I have too, but always try to do it with care and take the job seriously every day when you get up. So, hopefully that comes through, but yeah, I appreciate you having me on to talk. I think this was, what you wanted me to do, right?
Yeah, no, you did a great job, and I appreciate you. It was cool looking over, and I didn't get a chance to say hello to you down at Southport on Saturday, but I think that was your son with you on Saturday?
Yeah, my younger son came with me. Normally, my older son, I take him every year. We've gone to the he would always come with me to the Marion County championship game, and Bill Zick let him one year Pike won probably 10 years ago or so. And he wasn't sitting there where I normally sit. And I was like, what the heck? Where is he? I figured he's probably shooting around or something somewhere. And then Bill sends me a picture. He's up on the ladder, cutting part of the net down when Pike won the championship. So I always appreciate Bill letting him do that. But yeah, he would always come with me. He's a senior now, and he wasn't able to go, so my younger son came with me. So, but yeah, we always try to make that a tradition of going to the Marion County championship game.
That's cool, and it's been cool to watch your family grow as well. Since like we see each other, it seems like we see each other at things every month at least. So, I really appreciate what you do and everything you've done for us here at WBDG. Is it the first time you've been on our air? I've been on Inside Ben Davis Football before, I know, and I think you've been on this show maybe one other time, or the forerunner of this show, School Talk. So really appreciate everything you do and all the times you've hopped on with us at halftime and everything else. So we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Well, you do a great job, and, you know, I obviously cover a ton of Ben Davis events and athletes over the years, and I always enjoy getting there. It's close to home for me, so it's easy to get there. If I have an opportunity to go there, it's like, well, I'll take there because it's close to home. So, but yeah, I obviously Ben Davis tradition is great, and been able to cover some great athletes there and some great teams and people too. So that's been really enjoyable for me as well. It's a place that I really will hold close to me too, since it's had a lot of fun experiences there.
You know, I just thought about this. You don't get stuck for 10 hours on 465 when you're when you're
that's
coming
right
to Ben Davis.
Right.
Yeah, so I know you had that
and
experience
what,
too.
Yeah, and Paul never let me live that down after it happened. It's like he always, every time we talked after that, he would laugh and laugh, and I'm like, Paul, it's not that funny. But yeah, that's where I was coming from, was North Central, Carmel game. So yeah, that wouldn't have happened if I was on the west side, for sure.
Yeah.
I would have been home.
Well, and I remember that night, it was like the line was right across this area, and we missed it, and the north side got it. So anyway, thank you again for joining us, Kyle.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, John.
All right. Kyle Nenrip joining us here on Voices of the West Side this morning, and Miles has miraculously switched into
me,
Kieran Sandulo. Good morning, Kieran.
Good morning.
We didn't get a chance to talk at the start of the show.
No, we did not.
Seems like we just left here.
Yep.
So we lied to the people. We said last night that 12 hours from now you'd be hearing from us.
I know.
And it was more like 12 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, closer to 40.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad that I'm
here. Hope everything's okay with emergencies.
We're all good.
Good.
We're all good.
Good to hear. So anything that you have for the good people of the West Side before we close out?
Don't drink and drive.
Absolutely.
That's and also drive good slower. Advice. Drive slower, especially around here, because I almost got run off the road on my way here.
Yeah, I mean, don't do that. The snow is kind of stuck around
overnight. Don't do that to people. That's me.
Because it is cold again this morning.
Outrageously.
Once again, we talked about it on the top of the show, but just sending our condolences out to the Pack family on the loss of their father and husband, and we're just thinking about them. So that's how we're going to wrap it up. That'll be Voices of the West Side. Join us next week when I totally spaced who we have next week.
You'll remember it next
week. I believe
week.
It is the Wayne Township Education Foundation next week in studio. Lisa Bays and one of the health coaches.
Look at that.
Talk about all the things I'm doing wrong.
You remember it.
Yeah.
You figured it out.
My brain works every once in a while.
Sometimes.
That's going to do it for Voices of the West Side.
Bye-bye.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.